What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 125. Today, we're going to be diving into mental health and specifically how a plant-based diet is not good for mental health. So there's a lot of research out there showing that the nutrition that is lacking in a plant-based diet can lead to things like depression. And that's obviously a huge problem in today's world. So first, I just want to touch on like the stats behind depression and anxiety, stuff like that, because it's crazy. The numbers are truly crazy. And then we'll do a little bit more of a deep dive into the specific nutrients that are needed to actually, I don't know, function properly that we just don't get in the plant-based diet. Just if you didn't know, and I think you'd have to be blind if you didn't know, from a mental health standpoint, in this country at least, you know, recording this in America, things are getting worse. You know, like it's just a fact. The homeless population is through the roof. A lot of that population is suffering from mental disorders. And even if you know, I don't know, anybody in our life, we all know someone who's suffering from depression, anxiety, bipolar. You know, we all know that, right, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, these things are way too common nowadays.
Way too common, yeah. So for just some hard numbers out there, 322 million people are diagnosed with depression. And that's basically the size of the United States. You know, it's a ton of people. And it's the number one cause of disability in the world. 800,000 people die from suicide each year. It's the number two cause of death among young people worldwide. And young's defined as 15 to 29. 264 million people with anxiety disorders. And that's a 15% increase from 2005 to 2015. So like I said, it's just getting worse. Dementia. 50 million people suffer from dementia, and that's estimated to triple by 2050. It's a number seven cause of death worldwide. It's often referred to as type 3 diabetes. If you want to learn more about that, we do have an Alzheimer's podcast, so it's very similar if you want to look into all that stuff. It's a thing no one really wants to talk about with mental disorders, like what causes it. No one ever looks at food. For whatever reason, honestly, it's always the first thing I look at, but that's obviously, that's like, you know, my jam. I understand that. But like the malnutrition and toxins found in the standard American diet, we all know it kills our body. Like if you know anything about nutrition, you would not recommend the standard American diet to your worst enemy because it's just so bad for you. But if it kills our bodies, why wouldn't it kill our minds as well? Do you understand? Like why? I don't understand why people don't make that connection.
So I'm so glad you brought this up. So I have a friend who is studying to be a psychiatrist. And I was talking to her, this is like probably at least a year ago, and I was just saying like, hey, do not overlook diet. Like, you know, diabetes, like all these diseases that we connect to diet correlate very strongly with things like depression, with things like anxiety and other mental disorders. And she was just like, well, you know, they're not teaching that in school. Like it's pretty much just either therapy or what drugs. And I was like, I know, so like you should like look into this. And she's like, nah, I don't think so. Just like was not even willing to take a look to see if those dots needed to be connected.
That's so sad. And it's true though. I mean, I think any doctor you speak to, at least who's kind of been converted, they'll say they left medical school not to like look at diet, look at exercise, nothing like that. They just go in there knowing what pills to give people. They pretty much just turn them into drug dealers.
I know. I just don't understand. It's like you got in this profession most likely to help people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just because you didn't learn about it in medical school doesn't mean that that knowledge still can't help people. Like, yeah. I don't understand why like there's that cognitive like dissonance. Like they just won't, not willing to even like hear that side of the argument.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, mental disorders were very rare from, like, an indigenous people standpoint. Like, it just wasn't something that was really recorded a lot. We don't have a lot of evidence of this many people being depressed 100,000 years ago. This many people suffering from anxiety 200,000 years ago. It just wasn't a thing. And there's a term called diseases of Western civilization, and that refers to things like obesity, diabetes, heart disease, cancer. These are diseases that popped up once countries and just regions became more like affluent, and once they were kind of able to get more sugar and get more processed foods, these diseases popped up. But they were never there when the cultures kind of were just how they were 100,000 years ago, like the Inuit back in the day. They didn't have heart disease, they didn't have cancer, they didn't definitely didn't have depression and stuff like this. But no one talks about diseases of Western civilization referring to the mental side of it as well. And I think this is it. I think depression, I think anxiety, we can lump those in to diseases of Western civilization. Don't you think?
Oh yeah, for 100%. One of the biggest problems is, like, especially like in our country, we just try to, like, ignore mental health as much as we possibly can. Like, anytime, like, it's time for the government to make some budget cuts somewhere, it seems like mental health funding is, like, one of the first places to go. Like, we just try to ignore it, even though it's everywhere nowadays. And it's, like, it's honestly, it's becoming too big of an issue to ignore.
It really is, yeah. It's just way too big of an issue. There's plenty of epidemiological studies showing links between the standard American diet and mental health. And obviously that's not hard to believe if you know anything about the standard American diet, but are there any harder studies, any more conclusive studies? And there's a couple. There's two randomized controlled trials, and basically they compare the Mediterranean diet versus the standard American diet, and people who were on the Mediterranean diet had better outcomes from a mental health perspective. You know, they suffered less depression, they suffered less anxiety, they just felt better mentally, which is a good thing. I don't want to really bash the Mediterranean diet. That's, like, not what this podcast is about. But if you want to learn more about it, we do have a whole podcast on it. But in summary, the Mediterranean diet really never was a thing. It was damn near just created by the olive oil industry, and it worked, you know? So everyone thinks now that certain region on Earth eats the same diet, and that's just simply not the case. But the diet isn't terrible. You know, it's fine. But it's not necessarily because of what it contains. It's not like olive oil is a magic oil. It's just, honestly, what the diet excludes. So the diet excludes foods high in sugar and high in seed oils, relying more on whole food sources of carbs and olive oil instead of things like soy or canola oil. And when people do that, you know, they cut out seed oils, they cut out processed carbohydrates like sugar, they seem to do better from a mental health point. Like, it makes no sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And low carb diets have been shown to help with this backwards and forwards. And we have a whole series on how a ketogenic diet can help with various ailments. Cancer, heart disease, gout, Alzheimer's. I mean, I'm getting a couple. We have a whole series on the keto diet, right? Do you remember
all? Diabetes, cancer, yeah. Autoimmune.
Everything. Yeah. So we have plenty of evidence showing the keto diet helps with this stuff. But what this podcast we really want to touch on is a plant-based diet. So a plant-based diet, which is the magical diet that gets promoted by every government worldwide nowadays, does this help from a mental health perspective? Let's look into it. So the current data shows that 6% of Americans claim to be vegan. And I mean, I don't know. The vegan diet is such an extreme diet. 6% seems high to me, but I don't know. What did you think when you saw that?
I mean, honestly, that sounds about right. Like, that's almost 1 in 20. I know quite a few vegans. So, yeah, that does sound to be about right.
It sounded so high to me.
It's like, people don't seem to be vegan for long. Yeah. Like, I don't know anybody that's vegan for, like, over 5 years at this point.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just believing that when they say they're vegan, they are strict 100% vegan, because I really doubt that many people are. Let's just be 100% honest. I think people are sneaking in either cheese or fish or something, you know, but that's just that. I guess it's another conversation for another day.
Oh yeah, they're most likely getting cheeseburgers when they're drunk on a Friday night.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, and then they claim they're vegan on Monday, you know, so whatever. That is what it is, I guess. But like, we know the nutrition needed for a brain to work properly. And that's because we know what the brain is made of. The brain is primarily made of cholesterol and fat. And the one fat that's really important, we actually talked about it last week, is DHA, which is a long chain omega-3 fats. And guess what you don't get in a plant-based diet? Any cholesterol or any DHA. So obviously, these nutrients that are super important for our brain, if you don't get them in the diet, you're going to suffer brain disorders, something like depression, something like anxiety. So it makes sense. And there are studies out there showing a connection between poor mental health and plant-based diets. Do you want to kind of touch on those real quick?
Yeah, so I'm just going to kind of just list these off real quick. So in 2018, there was a French study of 90,000 adults looking at different diets and depression. And that study found that vegans were about 2.5 times more likely to suffer depression than meat eaters. Vegetarians and pescatarians, even though the pescatarians were eating meat, they also were more likely to suffer from depression, just not as high of a rate as vegans. So they weren't even comparing people on a healthy, like, meat-eating diet, like something like the ketogenic diet or like a carnivore diet. They're just comparing these health-conscious people to people on like a standard American diet, or I guess like a standard French diet, which is pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they found that they were 2.5 times more likely. So in 2014, an Austrian study, this was only looking at 1,320 participants, but again, it found that vegetarians were about twice as likely to suffer from depression and or anxiety than meat eaters. So again, like, both of these are epidemiological studies. You got to kind of take those with a grain of salt. But one thing with epidemiology is if it's like 2 times more likely, then it shows like, oh, hey, that correlation is pretty strong. We should probably take a deeper look. So if like the correlation shows like a 15% increase, that ain't shit. You can pretty much just ignore that study. But 2 times increase, it's like, okay, we should probably look into this a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So yeah, like, all right, what could be going on there? Well, tryptophan is an essential amino acid, meaning that we have to get it through our diet. While it can be found in plant sources like grains, nuts, and seeds, those foods are high in phytates, so that negatively impacts the bioavailability of that amino acid. Also, grains, nuts, and seeds are a shit source of tryptophan anyway. Milk and meat have like 2 to 5 times more tryptophan depending on the source. So definitely if you're on a vegetarian or vegan diet, you're going to be a lot lower in tryptophan than if you were on a normal diet. And one of the issues is with consuming a diet that is lacking in tryptophan but contains other amino acids, it leads to a thing called tryptophan depletion. So basically your body gets confused because when it gets amino acids, it thinks it's getting all the amino acids. For all throughout our evolutionary history, when we get amino acids, the majority of the time it's from meat, so you're getting a complete amino acid profile. You're getting all the essentials. So what happens is when you get all these other amino acids, they start triggering something called protein synthesis. So that tryptophan that you're getting through that diet, your little bit of tryptophan, it's getting used in your liver to create more proteins. So unfortunately, this leads to all that tryptophan getting depleted instead of getting turned into other things that your body needs, something like serotonin. And tryptophan depletion is strongly correlated with anorexia, bulimia, binge eating disorders, anxiety, depression. So yeah, tryptophan and serotonin, those things are linked to pretty much all the major mental illnesses that impact our world today.
Yeah, that's a point I want to touch on real quick, because I've talked about it with various people, I feel like 100 times, and I will do a podcast on, I think I'm going to do Article of the Week on crude protein versus true protein, and let me say that again, because it sounds like I said the same word twice, crude with a C protein versus true with a T protein. There is a difference. I've talked about it on various podcasts, but I want to break it down as simply as possible again. But part of it refers to what Tom said earlier, is you're getting a protein source that's not complete. It's not good. Protein metabolism and amino acid metabolism, I describe it almost like a Christmas tree. So you think of your meal at the top of the Christmas tree, and then your body breaks it down into various parts. But it needs the previous part before it gets to the bottom one. And when you have food that isn't complete amino acid profile, something like the plant-based diet would provide, these like pathways, they get stopped midway. And something like, homocysteine? I've talked about that in the past. That's something that gets elevated on a plant-based diet, again, because you don't get a lot of methionine. So it's not just tryptophan we talked about. There's plenty of amino acids. Tryptophan is important for a mental health standpoint, but there's other ones that a plant-based diet is lacking as well. But from a protein standpoint, you want to get all your protein that is, or from a source that is complete. Because if it's not complete, I don't even count it. You know, it's, if you want to eat nuts, go ahead. But don't count that towards your total protein goals, in my opinion. Because everything our body does with protein, it wants to do when all amino acids are available. So if you're lacking even one, it's going to cause problems. And not too many people understand that.
This is the argument from the Game Changers movie that made me want to, like, tear my hair out. Like, it was so upsetting. Their argument was, if you get enough protein, you're fine. It doesn't matter what the sources are. And it's like, no, that cannot be further from the truth. Like, you need, like, protein is made up of these amino acids, and you need to make sure you're getting enough of each amino acid to do its job. And there's so many roles. And tryptophan, just because it's an essential amino acid, like, there's other amino acids that are conditionally essential and stuff like that. Like, yeah, tryptophan is used to create other amino acids and stuff like that. But it's just, protein is so important, so much more important than just building muscle. Like, that's what most people think about. And then, no, it does a shit ton. Like we're talking about here, protein and eating disorders and mental illness.
Yeah, like you touched on serotonin. Like, people, a lot of people wouldn't connect tryptophan with serotonin, but it's there. Like, it's one-to-one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one thing that people do connect tryptophan with is melatonin. So tryptophan gets converted into serotonin. That's that feel-good hormone. And then that serotonin later gets converted into melatonin. So every Thanksgiving, everybody hears, you get tired after you eat Thanksgiving turkey due to the tryptophan getting converted into melatonin. Well, they're completely skipping over that step of the serotonin, which is that mediary step. So, yeah, tryptophan does make you get sleepy, but first it has to go to serotonin, then goes to melatonin, and then it helps out your sleep.
Yeah, it's all connected.
That also goes along with this. People with depression commonly suffer from poor sleep, and that's because they don't have enough serotonin. And SSRIs are usually prescribed to people that have depression, and what that does is it slows down the amount of serotonin absorbed at one time, so it keeps the supply a little bit more stable in your blood, leading to a more balanced mood. It doesn't really fix anything. It just kind of keeps the serotonin a little bit more stable, so you're not having these like gigantic mood swings. That's what they're there to kind of protect. But SSRIs do not work for everybody, so this kind of suggests that there are multiple causes for depression. So it's not just a tryptophan depletion.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. Like, we're not saying eat some tryptophan, your depression will go away, but I think it's part of the puzzle.
Oh, I think it's a big piece of the puzzle, especially when we looked at, like, you know, tryptophan's low in vegetarian diets. Vegetarians, 2.5 to 2 times more likely to suffer from it. So I think, like, that's some pretty good evidence right there.
Yeah.
But there's even more. So we're going to look at another amino acid lacking in a vegan diet, and that's carnitine. So carnitine is not considered to be an essential amino acid because our bodies can make it. But our bodies can only make about 25% of what we need to function optimally. So while it's not considered an essential amino acid, I consider it to be essential, especially because carnitine plays many, many roles in our body. For our bodies to make carnitine, we need iron. And iron is another nutrient that's commonly lacking in a vegan diet. So, okay, that's 2 strikes against the vegan diet just when there's carnitine. And animals are the only significant source for carnitine. Like, you can find a very, very small amount in things like grains, but you're going to find, like, 100 to thousands of times more carnitine in something like some red meat. Generally, like, the redder the meat, the more carnitine it has.
Yeah, and I think that's a point to make because I've just talked about it a lot throughout the years, I guess we've been doing this now, but these half-truths that you find in a plant-based community and people saying, like, no, you can find carnitine in grains, you can find carnitine in a plant-based source, but they'll never tell you that the amounts we're talking about are magnitudes different, and it's not enough unless you're eating it from actual meat and quality sources. It basically shouldn't count. It's like methionine from soy. It basically shouldn't count, but people who have an agenda will spin the data in such a way to make it fit their narrative. And that's just the way it is. To kind of go back to our one of our articles a week, just corruption in the food science world, it's there.
I mean, maybe if you ate like 10 pounds of like oats a day, you might be able to get enough carnitine. But I'm willing to bet you're going to like create so many more issues by trying to solve that one problem. So yeah, you're better off just eating a little bit of steak.
Yeah.
So in animal studies at Stanford, acetyl L-carnitine deficiency was linked to depression like behavior in rats. I guess I can't really say that the rats have depression. I don't know, because I can't talk to them. or whatever. So yeah. After acetyl L-carnitine supplementation, the rats behave normally in just a matter of days. So just to compare that, most prescription drugs takes weeks to kick in. So just this supplement, this basic supplement that you can actually get from a state, you don't even need to go get a supplement, takes days to kick in versus prescription drugs which take weeks. So boom, real food, carnitine for the win in that one. But okay, I get it. Those were rats. What about people? We care about people more than we care about rats. So same university, same researcher looked at 71 adults with depression. And they found that the people with the lowest levels of acetyl L-carnitine had the worst symptoms and were the most resistant to other forms of treatment. So unfortunately, they didn't have the funding to do like a randomized control study. And before they want to make recommendations of if you have carnitine or if you have depression, start supplementing with L-carnitine, the researchers like specifically said more research needs to be done, particularly randomized controls trials, before they can recommend a dose or like any sort of supplementation. But it just kind of goes to show you, like, okay, it worked in rats. If we're seeing the same pattern with humans, so we're probably just a couple years away from them conducting these studies and these trials and saying, oh, yeah, humans should be supplementing with L-carnitine. Something that we've been getting through our diet for millions of years.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. But the thing is, who's making money off carnitine supplementation?
That's a good question.
Nobody. You know,
I guess with supplements, it is a little bit different because you can at least patent a supplement, you know, like you can do something like that, whereas you can't really patent steak. So maybe there's a little bit, somebody might be a little bit more interested in that. I mean, it's definitely not a drug. So like, you're not going to get that big pharma money funding that research, but you know, it's a little bit more promising.
You're right. Yeah. And I guess something with L-carnitine, you can also promote it as like a fat-based thing, like a fat loss supplement. So that's an angle that is attractive to people who want to make money. You know what I mean? Because everyone at some point has walked through a GNC and there's a whole section of fat loss products, you know, so they can jam it in there in some way, shape, or form.
That's funny that you talk about that because they do mention that in that study or that article.
I bet.
It's like before you like run off to start buying some L-carnitine for your local supplement store, wait for that. Mm-hmm. Or the fat loss section of your supplement store, I think is what it specifically said.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's there. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think of carnitine as like a fat loss supplement. I just think of it as, oh, hey, this is what my heart uses for fuel source. Let me make sure I get enough carnitine because I want my heart to keep ticking.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't think a lot of the studies on L-carnitine, or at least oral L-carnitine, show that much benefit from a fat loss perspective. Obviously, there's other things L-carnitine does, and you should get enough in your diet. But I know injectable carnitine has shown some promise, but no one's going to shoot, you know, whatever, 3 cc's every day. You know what I mean? Like, that's not reliable for 99% of people.
Yeah, people will take 40 pills a day, but one shot a day.
Not happening.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, so I think we laid out a pretty good like argument against why vegan diets and vegetarian diets could lead to, or actually do lead to, like mental disorders. So me and Tyson came up with this little TNT SSRI protocol for improving your mood. It's really simple. The first one, steak. I mean, hey, steak has all that tryptophan that you need, all that acetyl L-carnitine that you need. So that is a great mood boosting, like nutrient, like powerhouse. It also has DHA in it as well. Do you want to do the next one?
Then yeah, the next one is sunshine. We've talked about it in various podcasts in the past. We are very pro sun around here. We have a podcast on the kind of the health and negatives of sunscreen. And in that one, we talk about the benefits of the sun and why you shouldn't fear sun, even if you're as pasty white as I am. What you really need to do is focus on dietary change. So go listen to that podcast and don't fear the sun, because we need the sun for everything in our body to work optimally.
Yeah, we also have a great interview series with Heather Shepherd talking about all the multiple benefits of sunshine. So that's another good podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
So we got the first two S's. The next R is going to be rest. Rest basically just means sleep. Sleep is when our body does all our metabolic repairs, and it's also when we balance our hormones out. So if you're getting the proper amount of sleep, your body will take care of the cortisol, serotonin, melatonin, get all those balanced out right.
Yeah, and the last one for our SSRI protocol is going to be intense exercise, or you can just replace that I with iron if you want. Just go out there and move some heavy shit. I don't care if it's simply your body or if it's, you know, like me, I have a home gym. I got a bunch of iron plates out there. They're all rusted from the 70s, but it works. And our bodies are designed to move. We're never, like, we did not become peak apex predators sitting in a cubicle for 8 hours and driving 2 hours to commute each day. That is not what our bodies are designed to do. Our mental health and our physical health are intimately linked. So if you want your brain to work optimally, get your body to move as well. If you do that, you'll feel a million times better, I promise.
Yeah, so many people love, like, these intense forms of exercise. Like, look at, like, CrossFit gyms. That seems more like a cult than a gym because people just absolutely love it. Those people aren't going there because they hate it. They go there because they love it. There's, like, you know, the running community, the gym community. There's so many people that exercise and they absolutely love it. And that's because it does really impact your mood. It really does give you that mood boosting benefits.
It's just, yeah, there's no way. I mean, I understand that sometimes you don't want to train. You know, it's early, it's cold, it's dark, you're tired. Whatever excuse you can make, I understand it. But nobody finished a workout and regretted they did it. You know, so just get it done, get your body moving, you'll 100% appreciate it, and you'll feel better. And yeah, I mean, that's the gist of the podcast this week. I think, like Tom said, we made a pretty good argument. It's just, in a nutshell, a plant-based diet, and specifically speaking of a vegan diet, which is a very strict plant-based diet, is lacking in too many nutrients to be considered healthy, and especially to be considered healthy from a mental health perspective. And that's the point we're trying to make. And it's sad that the vegan diet and plant-based diet gets promoted by pretty much every nation around the world now. And the reason it gets promoted is really because of money and really because of corruption. But it's just take your health into your own hands, eat some steak, go outside, don't fear the sun, get enough sleep, and lift some damn weights, and you'll feel better.
Yeah, definitely agree with all that. A vegan diet, a vegetarian diet, is not natural. So that's why eating an unnatural diet leads to all these unnatural disorders and diseases.
Just like that. So yeah, that's the podcast this week. You can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast providers, and maybe share this podcast if you know anybody that's dealing with any of these, like, depression or anxiety disorders. You can find us anywhere podcasts are found. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.